Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. You may have noticed that my schedule has been a little off lately with releasing new episodes. Bear with me as I get through the rest of our summer break, and I should have a more consistent schedule again in a few weeks. This is episode 31, and the topic for today will be on overstimulation. While my main focus is on kids with sensory processing disorder, in reality, even people without sensory issues can get overstimulated depending on the situation. The ideal situation when talking about overstimulation is to prevent it from happening in the first place. Of course, this is the ideal situation, but not necessarily possible a lot of times. So at that point, we are dealing with recovering from the overstimulation. Before we get into that, let's talk about overstimulation and what that means. Every person has what we usually call tolerance level for certain things. This tolerance level can be related to sensory processing. Each of our areas of sensory processing has its own level of tolerance. Each one can only take so much stimulation before it becomes too much, irritating, or overstimulating in some way. And every individual has different levels of where this stimulation becomes too much. Some people can tolerate quite a lot of stimulation before it becomes too much, while other people become overstimulated pretty quickly. For example, let's think about going into a restaurant for dinner. There are many different types of sensory stimulation in restaurants. For people with typical sensory systems, going to eat dinner at a restaurant is often uneventful. They can get through the meal, have nice conversations with whoever they're having dinner with, and feel basically the same as they felt when they came in, except now they're probably full from eating their food. For a person with sensory processing issues, this could be a completely different experience. One example of what it might be like for them, and there are so many different variations on this, depending on each individual person and the different types of stimulation at the restaurant. Let's just go with a person who has difficulty with processing auditory information. In this case, their brain takes longer to process things they hear. As I've mentioned in previous shows about auditory processing, when a person is dealing with this, they can easily feel overwhelmed or anxious, even in calmer, quieter environments. When they are trying to process sounds and conversations in their environment, because their brain takes a little longer to do this, it's like there's a backup of information waiting to be processed. But as the brain is trying to work through this backup, everything is getting jumbled and mixed up and out of place, which makes it even more confusing and anxiety-provoking for the person who is trying to process everything. Remember, they are not just trying to process what someone is saying to them. They are literally processing every sound in their environment. Other people talking, chairs moving, the air conditioner blowing, TVs playing, doors opening and closing, silverware clinking on the plates, and all the other sounds that are frequently heard in restaurants. People without sensory processing issues tune those unnecessary sounds out and only focus on the ones that are the most important. In this case, the waiter or waitress talking to you, and the people at the table having dinner with them who are also talking to them. When your sensory system is working properly and quickly, you have the ability to tune in and tune out information or stimuli as you want. This person will hear the TVs playing in the restaurant, but will eventually stop hearing them or stop paying attention to them because they tell their brain that the sound of the TV is not important. So the person who does not have this ability will try to process all of the sounds going on and will eventually not be able to keep up. This is the point of overstimulation. They will be able to tolerate the sounds and the difficulty with trying to process them all for a period of time. This amount of time most likely varies from situation to situation, but will be fairly consistent in that it will be a shorter period of time than people with typically developing sensory systems. So the person who has trouble with auditory processing will walk into the restaurant and immediately be bombarded with auditory information. Their brain starts working immediately to try and process all of these sounds. They may or may not hear you if you come up to them from behind to greet them initially. You may have to say their name a couple of times or touch them on their shoulder before they turn to look for you. Their hearing is not impaired physically, but their brain took a little longer to get through the other information they were processing that happened before you greeted them, before they get to processing your first greeting. At this point, they're probably doing okay still, but may already know in the back of their mind that this is likely going to become difficult soon. That thought in itself can start to provoke some anxiety. And it's only been 1 minute since they walked into the restaurant. As time goes on and they are sitting at the table now, still talking to the people they're having dinner with, or possibly just trying to listen to the people who are talking to them at their table. Remember, the person who can block out the sound of the TV once they determine that it is not important, well, the person with sensory issues hears the TV the whole time, whether they want to or not. But not just the TV. All of the other sounds in the room are constantly, basically, attacking their sensory system. As I mentioned before, each individual will have their own level of tolerance. So the person with auditory processing issues may make it 10 minutes into the dinner process, or 30 minutes, or even 45 before they start to feel overstimulated. But at whatever point it starts to happen, it will most likely continue to escalate until they are able to leave the environment. Some people may be able to leave the table and go into the bathroom for a few minutes to recover. This might help them reset and be able to last a little bit longer. But if there are a lot of people in the bathroom as well, this may not be much of a retreat for them. If they're able to bring their stimulation level down a little bit in the bathroom, it will likely only bring it down a little, not all the way back to the beginning where they started before they got to the restaurant. And it won't take too long to get back to the overstimulated level again. But it might be just enough time to get the ticket and pay the bill so they can leave. Their ability to have back and forth conversations with people at dinner will become more and more limited, and they may find themselves doing more, quote unquote, listening than talking, where they're actually not listening to the person talking anymore because their body can't handle it, but they're trying their best to appear as if they are listening. Still, the people there with them may start to ask if they're okay. Is something wrong? They might say they seem distracted or things like that. Once they're able to leave the restaurant and get into their own car, where the sounds are minimal and the person can pretty much control the auditory stimulation, they are able to start the process of recovering and getting themselves back to their normal level. Imagine that the person who is having issues with auditory processing is a child in this situation. You might see the child going through the same process, but probably in some different ways. The same thing will be going on inside their brain, where they are trying to process all of the sounds in the restaurant, but you might see them doing different things on the outside. They might seem to focus on one of the TVs in an attempt to block out the rest of the sounds, including you talking to them. Or they may find some other object in the restaurant to try and focus on. While it may look like they're just so interested in the TV show, what is actually going on is they're zoned out and probably not really able to hear or see anything too clearly. They might be staring at the TV but not actually able to process what they're even seeing on the TV because their brain is so busy trying to process every sound around them. You will most likely have to touch them to try and get their attention back to you. Just saying their name will probably not get their attention because that auditory stimuli will be backed up in the list of things their brain is already trying to process. They may be a child who likes fidget toys or certain types of toys that they can hold in their hands all the time. Maybe they don't leave the house without a specific toy or block or anything else that is interesting to them. This is another attempt at something to focus their attention on. Many times, kids will have their tablet or their parents' phone in restaurants. This can be one way to give them something familiar and predictable to focus on to try and block out these obnoxious random sounds in the restaurant. Even with these other strategies, usually visual strategies, kids will eventually reach their tolerance level anyway and become overstimulated to the point of not being able to take it anymore. They will be getting up and trying to get out of their seat or flee the restaurant. Jumping around or kicking their legs a lot, trying to stay seated. They might start to make sounds, sing or scream out loud. You might start to see more of the self-stimulating actions like hand wringing or hand flapping or turning their heads back and forth or rocking their body forward and back. You could maybe see them grit their teeth and try to squeeze things or squeeze your arm. For some kids, this happens before the food is even delivered to the table. In this case, it can be really difficult to get them to try and eat once they've started to get to this point of overstimulation. And once they've reached it, it can be even more impossible. When a person gets to the point of feeling overstimulated, it can be similar to a state of anxiety, where everything becomes heightened at that point. Even things that normally wouldn't bother them can become annoying, so their tolerance for stimuli in general can become very low. When people feel anxious or nervous-type feelings, they may have a stomach ache or just generally feel upset. They often do not feel hungry anymore, even if they were feeling hungry before. This is all related to stress hormones and are basically a type of fight-or-flight response. This reaction builds over the course of the dinner situation, and eventually the tolerance level for the stimuli is reached. And parents know it's time to take the child outside. Unfortunately, so many kids are not able to tell their parents what is going on inside their body, and they probably don't even understand it anyway. They just know what they are feeling and that they want to get out of there. Another thing about this that complicates matters for the next time you want to go out to dinner with them is they will probably remember this feeling. So when you pull up to the restaurant next time, they will start to have those same stressed or overstimulated feelings happen before you even walk in the doors of the restaurant. Their tolerance level will seem like it is less because they are starting to feel their level of anxiety go up before getting into the restaurant. I've talked about ways to help prevent this from escalating, so I won't get too much into it today, but you can think about blocking out the extra sounds in some way. The easiest way is to let them wear headphones into the restaurant and for part or all of the mealtime. Either noise-canceling headphones or regular headphones that are attached to a music device or tablet. This is a whole different subject as far as just getting through meals, which was not really supposed to be the point of today. This has turned into one long example of auditory overstimulation in a restaurant. However, auditory stimulation can and does happen in any environment. The topic for today was not supposed to revolve only around auditory processing, though. You can take any of the senses and put them in this one example in place of auditory processing and see how it would work the same way, but for different reasons. For example, with visual processing, the person is trying to process everything they see in the restaurant, and it can become overwhelming trying to focus their eyes and attention only on the people talking to them at the table. With vestibular processing, they might have trouble sitting still in their seat because their body is craving movements. They want to jump and spin and run around because they need to get their head moving in space. It can be very difficult to sit at the table and be still and pay attention to conversations because their body is distracted with the need to get moving. Tactile sensory can be involved as well. Maybe the fabric on the chair bothers them or the tablecloth, so they don't want to reach up and touch anything even close to the table now. Their sense of smell or the olfactory sensory system can be affected. If someone walks by carrying a tray of food that doesn't smell good to them, it can be distracting, and they might not be able to focus on the conversation because the only thing they can focus on is that horrible smell. And it may be something that everyone else thinks smells really good. Getting back to the person who does not have sensory processing issues, these people also have a tolerance level. However, that level may not be reached at a regular restaurant dinner situation. They might get through the entire meal without ever reaching their point of overstimulation. Now, if there's a band playing rock music at the restaurant, this may change things even for the person with a typical sensory processing system. After 20 to 25 minutes of trying to have an actual conversation with the people at their table and having to shout over the loud, constant music, they may start to reach their level of tolerance. It is not too likely they will actually reach the level of stress or anxiety type feelings where they will want to flee the restaurant, though. But when they actually do leave after dinner, when they walk out the doors, they may take a deep breath and say, "Ah, that's better. Now we can have a conversation without having to yell at each other across the table." And they will likely recover rather quickly and continue with the rest of their evening without any issues. However, the person or child with sensory issues may continue to feel anxious or stressed well after they leave the restaurant. Each person is, of course, different, but it can take some kids hours to recover from this and feel like themselves again. Sometimes kids will fall asleep the second they get back into the car after leaving the restaurant. Their little bodies have taken all the stress and overload they can handle, and their brain might just need to shut down for a while, so they fall asleep. This is not a good sign to me because it is an obvious sign that they are not able to handle these types of situations. But at least it should help them reset and be back to their usual self after they wake up and have hopefully recovered from the situation. In this case, going to a restaurant. If they were unable to eat at the restaurant, they will probably be hungry once they wake up or once their body has calmed down and recovered from being there. Sometimes kids will get into the car and cover their whole body or their head with a blanket. Some kids will scream the entire ride home and will be upset and continue to cry or scream at home for another hour or two. Sometimes kids will get home and find a quiet area in the house and play with their favorite toys or look at a book or some other quiet activity. Whichever sense has gotten overstimulated, they will benefit the most from reducing that stimuli for that area once they leave the situation. If it's auditory, reducing the sounds, including talking in the car. If it's visual, reducing the lights inside the car and having people in the car sit fairly still, so there's not a lot of movement happening in there. The blanket over their own head is one strategy for reducing both or either auditory and visual stimuli. It can also be calming by providing some deep pressure stimulation on their head and body. The movement and vibration of the car, with the reduction of additional stimuli, can be helpful in getting them to start recovering and coming back to their usual level. Overstimulation can happen in any environment, both at home and out in public places. When you have a child with sensory processing issues and they are known to get overstimulated, plan ahead for outings and for events when extra people will be visiting, even at your own home. Think about ways to reduce the stimuli that your child is sensitive to and try to help them stay at their usual level longer and hopefully prevent them from getting to the point of overstimulation if possible. I know that this is easier said than done most of the time, but anything you can do to try and prevent as much stress for your child is worth the effort for everyone involved. As they grow, if they continue to deal with these issues, you can make sure they start to recognize the symptoms of overstimulation in themselves and help them find ways to prevent it from getting to the point of anxiety or fight or flight. They can use those strategies for the rest of their lives or for as long as they need it in their life. Please take a minute to find me on Instagram and follow me there. Send me a message and let me know that you're a listener of this podcast. I would really appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening.